chapter 18, verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want to preach for a few moments today, talent on loan from God. Talent on loan from God. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Jesus, have your way as we preach this message. And help the words that I've spoken in pastoring not to cause hurt feelings, but to let conviction and godly sorrow lead us to a place of repentance and to a boldness to adjust our lives to align with your word. Help this word to go out to accomplish that which you intend for it to today. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're open to the word, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Talent on the pillow.
Praise God. Talent on loan from God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't you love colds and all these kind of viruses and allergies?
Yeah, love them.
Then we know what God did with the leftover pieces, hallelujah. Once again, by all accounts, the service had went very well. The sermon was received with gasps of amazement and thunderous applause. The rulers paid him generously. Everyone was pleased. Ever since he met with John the Baptist, his ministry was in great demand. His Sabbaths were filled for the rest of the season. And this expat of Israel loved traveling. He loved meeting new people and seeing new places. And everywhere he went, it was the same. All of the Jewish synagogues throughout the region were hungry for news from the homeland. And above all his contemporaries, Apollos had a gift. Critics reviewed him with glowing adjectives. Some loved him for his eloquence. Others lauded his competence in the scriptures. Congregants loved his fervency and boldness. There was no doubt that he did enjoy what he was doing, and it showed. But it wasn't the crowds, the invitations, the money, or the accolades that drove him or motivated him. He could see things that very few others could see. You see, he was in love with the scriptures. And he craved understanding. And so God had given him a gift. So many of the other Jewish teachers liked to pick their favorite books from the Old Testament. They had their favorite chapters and Bible characters. And they built their churches and their schools and their theology based on their take of whatever their favorite Bible teaching might happen to be. But what God had given him, the gift to do that so many others could not, was he could put the pieces together. Apollos could connect the dots. He had the gift of insight and revelation. He could see the lines connecting everything. Together. Did you get that? You can have all the truths you need right in front of you, but be incapable of putting them together into a coherent narrative. And without this ability to connect all things in God's Word together, you can talk and teach until you're blue in the face, but without connecting the dots, you'll leave people more confused and dissatisfied than they were before you spoke. This is the one thing that drove Apollos. It drove him in his studies. It drove him in his sermons and his theology. It was his great desire and his gift to speak and teach with utmost accuracy the themes concerning the coming of the Messiah. God had given him the gift of being able to see the big picture. While others could not see the forest for the trees, he could see beyond the individual pieces. He could see the entire compendium of Old Testament scripture. And he saw it as one massive mosaic. He could see that the entire Bible was one overarching narrative. There were different characters and moves and acts. But to him, it was all one book. And what is most important, he could see that the entire story of scripture centered on one person. The great post-exilic teacher, Ezra, had this gift. He could teach the Word of God in a way that gave people the sense of understanding that they so desperately craved. And Ezra's teaching, now come on now, does anybody ever crave understanding? I love to hear Brother Philip's story about how he said, I've read the Bible inside and out, and it didn't make any more sense to me. I read it and looked at it upside down, and it could have been upside down and backwards, and it wouldn't have made no sense to me. But God opened his understanding, and now the Word means something totally different for him. I mean, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. That's a sign of growth in your walk with God, where you bump up against things that you don't understand, and you wish that somebody would explain it to you.
Yes.
And it may be God that does that for you. It may be a trusted and mature believer. It may be a man of God. And I said, and Apollos had that gift, and Ezra had that gift. And Ezra's teaching at once, the Bible says, brought shouts of joy as the light bulbs went off, and simultaneously it brought sobs of grief as the full reality of truth hit home. Jesus had this ability. He could see the narrative thread running throughout the scriptures. He could take the most complex theological problems and give simple solutions. You can't do that when you can't put the pieces together. Oh, they said to Jesus, this woman married a man, and he had six brothers, and seven brothers, and the man died, and she married the next eldest brother, but he died, and she married the next eldest brother, but he died, and she married the next eldest brother, but he died, and she married the next, but he died, she married all seven of them, and they all died. When she gets to heaven, who's going to be her husband? And Jesus was like, you knuckleheads, ain't nobody going to be your husband. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be like the angels. He could take questions that the Pharisees had bantied about for hundreds of years, and in one simple answer, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What does the scripture say? Well, it's, come on, sometimes people have it right in front of them, and they can't put two and two together. Well, Jesus said, what does the scripture say? Well, you should love the Lord God with all your heart, my soul. Well, Jesus said, there you go. And that was easy, wasn't it? This has been the problem with people's ability to grasp God's truths for ages. We want to proof text our way through life. We want to violently divorce certain truths and rip them from the Bible and pick details from the and this, that, and the other and divorce it from the rest of Scripture. Right. When you approach the Bible like that, it always leads to confusion and spewing one nonsensical idea after another. When you try to pick away at the Bible like that without seeing the complete panorama, you'll wind up ignorantly acting out weird rituals, and you'll grow more and more unspiritual, and it will lead to instability in your walk with God, and eventually you'll fall into sin. Paul said the teachings of some eat like canker, they eat like cancer in the soul, and one twisted view of the scripture after another will pile up in judgment and ultimately lead to the destruction of your soul. Apollos could see this, and he was on a mission to eradicate ignorance in the Jewish church. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, I want to come to you, church, because I don't want you to come behind in any gifts. Come on, somebody. Apollos could see it. And he was on a mission to prove by the scriptures that there was only one person in the Bible who matters. He had heard John the Baptist preach about the one coming after him whose shoelaces he was not worthy to untie. He had heard about the one coming who had baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. He heard the stories about the baptism. He heard the tale about the dove and the voice from heaven. He had heard John's fiery message that the Lamb of God was coming to take away the sins of the world. Despite all of his fervor, Apollos was still missing one important piece of the puzzle. His teaching and his preaching were stuck in the past. All that he spoke of was off in the uncertain and unforeseen future. His ministry potential was spinning in place. He wasn't capable of making a real difference. Every time he got done preaching, he felt that emptiness. And he could point to stories and scriptures as yet unfulfilled. And he was teaching and preaching about someone whom he had never met.
All right.
Up until this point. His teaching was accurate and bold, but it lacked one thing, and he could feel it down in his heart. He didn't let it stop him, but he was hungry. He needed to have someone explain things to him more accurately. He needed someone to fill in the last missing piece. The church's ministry is often one of filling in the missing pieces. I talk to people that feed my sheep, and some of the things that they say, everybody behind their back is going, you know. That's why I agree with what Brother Stacy Taylor said. We need to get in a Bible study. We need to go deeper into the Word of God, because all of that mist and fog that blinds us and obscures the scriptures is blown away by the light and the sunlight and the powerful beam of God's truth. And so this is what Apollos was dealing with, and he needed to bring his ministry into the present. He needed to come out of the past and away from the future. And like I preached last week, he needed to come into the
now.
Thank you, Jim.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I doubled my preaching effectiveness percentage this week from 1 to 2. That's 100% increase. And all of this was weighing heavy on Apollos' mind as he made his way out of the synagogue in Ephesus. And he greeted his well-wishers with hearty handshakes and kisses on the cheek. And that's when he met them. Aquila and Priscilla were attending synagogue that day in Ephesus. They looked back and forth at each other in utter amazement at the man's teaching and his preaching. They had heard many Jewish scholars and teachers over the years. And they had been taking in a steady diet of Paul's teaching and preaching for a while now. But this man had a gift. He was on another level. And he didn't even know about Jesus' resurrection or the gift of the Holy Spirit yet. And they waited patiently for Apollos to make his way in their direction. They could hardly contain their excitement. Apollos got to them and he was taken aback by this bubbly couple. There was a glow about them that contrasted with the general gloominess among the Jewish people. He wanted to know more about who they were. He wanted to know where they came from. He wanted to know more about the things that they were hurriedly explaining to him about Jesus. And so they decided to head out into the market and find a place to sit and eat. And Apollos plied them with question after question and answer after answer. Priscilla and Aquila explained to him all of the things that he had been longing to know about Jesus. Jesus explained to him things from the law and the prophets and the Psalms, how the Son of Man must suffer and be glorified. They retold the story of Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. They filled in all the blanks about his resurrection. They recounted the whole thing from fish on the seashore to his ascension. Now Apollos' mind is whirling piece after puzzle piece that he's been shuffling around in his heart and mind, begin to connect. And when they finally got to the part about the outpouring of the Spirit on the holy day of Pentecost, it was more than he could do to just sit there. Hallelujah. He jumped up and paced out into the road. Hallelujah. And he came back to the table. Hallelujah. He was worked up. His mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. More questions, more answers, more amazement than he had ever known. And he had a gift. Hallelujah. But I don't care what you've known or what you've done. Hallelujah. I don't care how much church you had, how much religion. When you come face to face with the reality of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit that he died and resurrected to release on the world, hallelujah, it's going to do something to you that none of those ever things had ever done. It's going to take you from where you are and launch you to a new dimension in your relationship and knowledge with God. Hallelujah. He didn't need to ponder long to realize that he needed to be baptized in the name. He couldn't wait another day or waste one more minute. He had to experience the gift of the Holy Spirit, and experience it he did. It may not tell it there in the Bible, baby, but I guarantee you he's not going to let that pass by. And finally, it all made sense. The gifts and talents that he had were all loaned to him by God.
Amen.
His life's purpose would finally be realized. He was already a premier speaker, but now he went from having dynamic talent to having dynamic ministry. He graduated from being eloquent, competent, fervent, accurate, and bold to actually being able to help people with their problems and not just tickle their ears and offer them a moment's respite from the rigors of doubt. But now he can offer them true transformation of heart and mind and body and soul and spirit. And he went from ideology and abstraction to preaching a powerful, practical, accessible, and life-changing gospel. Now his story was complete. Now all of the plot tension had its proper outlet. Now there was a true ending to the story. Now the plot holes were filled.
Amen.
He went to a ministry of telling to a ministry of showing. He went from preaching that the Messiah was coming to preaching that Jesus was here now, right now, ready. And so Apollos did what we all must do. He went from knowing in part and seeing in part to having the complete and perfect picture. I know I took that out of context a little bit, but y'all be okay. It won't hurt you too bad. Just know that I know.
All right.
Hallelujah. That's why I wrote the book of Hebrews. This is a rabbit trail. Hallelujah. Get your shotguns ready. He'll come back around and shoot him when he comes back out. Hallelujah. We wrestled around with this. I want to tell you this because this is just neat. Because, you know, God, the reason why I love God so much, and the reason why I love the Bible so much, is because God is so nice to always, like, show me new things about the Bible that I've never heard or thought of before. And it always just makes me really happy. It makes me want to pray, Brother Philip, because I never know. Today may be the day when God shows me something that's going to be life-changing. Can't miss today, you know. And so I was praying about all this, you know, and I grew up believing and being taught that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. You know, when you look at the book of Hebrews in the Bible, it doesn't say who wrote it. Hang on, I'm going to show you something here. I'm talking about going from being talented to being effective. And you know what I think about Paul writing the book of Hebrews? I think he did. And then, recently I heard and came to really like the idea that Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. And you know what I think about that? I think he did. And then I heard that Aquila and Priscilla wrote the book of Hebrews. You know what I think about that? I think they did. And then I also heard that they say Clement of Alexandria, which is where Paul is from. He wrote the book of Hebrews. You know what I think about that?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are good, man. I kid you not, the Lord spoke to me the other day, and he said, it's not attributed to anybody in particular, because these preachers and teachers of the good news, they put their ideas and their theology together, and they all contributed to it. And it became a writing that was essential preaching material. Essential. You couldn't go into a synagogue as a Christian until you had the book of Hebrews in your back pocket.
Okay.
Hallelujah. That's what the Lord spoke to me. I don't have anything to do with the preaching, but Paulus is in the middle of it, right? Hallelujah. You can go to being an outsider, amen, but God can take you and the gift that He's given you, and He can bring you to the inside, and you can participate in the writings of historical accuracy, and you can, God will show you things and bring you together with people of like mind, and you guys will create things, amen, that will bless the church for ages. God will show you secrets in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we've got to go from knowing in part and seeing in part to having the complete and perfect picture. And I've been preaching for 30 years and just had that thought, Sister Lois, this week. Brother Stacy, you ain't never heard that before either. I never heard it anywhere. And I was even looking at the commentaries and then, boom, I was just like, wow. Because I want to get up here and preach today and say, Apollos, he wrote the book of Hebrews, you know, and really promote my opinion. God was like, well, your opinion is only one dot. Your opinion is only one piece. You need to see that there were other pieces. Does anybody hear what I'm preaching today? And when you can put the pieces together, you can come to realize that your talent is just like we said about the tent makers and holy work. You can realize that what God has gifted you with, that He wants to work through it for His glory. But until you get the missing pieces together, then you're going to struggle and spin your wheels and not truly be able to flourish or truly be able to help people really change. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life just on a dead-end ministry and saying and doing things that have little to no effect. I want to go deeper in God. I want to... What do you think we're preaching through the book of Matthew for? Why do you think we're preaching through the book of Acts? Lord willing, maybe one day, why do you think we'll be preaching through the book of Revelation? Because we want God to connect the dots. Yeah. We want God to fill in the pieces. Yeah. We were tired, amen, of having a powerless ministry. We're tired of prayers that just hit the ceiling and bounce back down. How many of you are hungry, amen, to walk into a room, to walk up to a house, to walk into a service, to be the person out in the community, and the Holy Ghost surges out of you, and you minister to them, and the transforming the power of God touches their life, and they're never the same again. Hallelujah. You can do that. God knows each and every one of us. He knew us before we were conceived. His plan for us were written down before we were born. He knew what our struggles would be. He knew what our triumphs would be. He knew what our gifts and callings would be, because He picked them out. He didn't just know it, but He planned our lives the way they are. And it's up to us to seek Him. Amen. We've got to recognize that our talent, amen, isn't just a mishmash, amen, of genetic potentialities. But God made us just the way that we are, and He has a plan, and it's up to us to let Him bring us into that plan and let Him use our talents for His glory.
Amen. Amen.
We got to give our talents to Him and let God use us. We must embody the attitude of the Savior. We must be witnesses of His death and of His resurrection. Too many people get petering out before they get to the goal. Amen. You got a trial, you got a tribulation. Paul said it's happening to everybody. Oh, but you need to hang in there through that trial and tribulation. Let me just bring some things back around. Hallelujah. Because when you do, on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. On the other side of the suffering is the glory of God. On the other side of the failure and the struggle is victory and excellence.
Yes.
Amen. We are His sons and His daughters. We are His heirs and joint heirs. We are ambassadors of His truth in the earth. We all, each and every one of us, have talent on loan from God. But the question is, Brother Stacy, I've got questions. What are you doing with what God has put in your heart?
Yes. Amen.
What pieces are missing in the puzzle of truth and understanding that you know? How are we allowing God to use us to show His glory? Paul said, I'm pressing for the prize. You think working a miracle is going to satisfy you? It's just going to make you hungrier. You think working a miracle is going to satisfy you? It's just going to make you hungrier.
Right.
You think that speaking the message in tongues and interpreting the message in tongues is going to fulfill? It's just going to make you hungrier.
All right.
You think that winning people to the Lord and we ought to be doing all of those things. You think that winning somebody to God is going to satisfy? It's just going to make you hungrier. It's just going to make you want to know more. It's just going to make you want to go closer to Him. And after Paul had done all those things, amen, he'd seen it all and he'd done it all that we only have only been dreaming about doing. And then he said, I don't care about any of that. I count all things but dung. I count all things but cow patties in the pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. That I might win Christ. I am pressing on that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, in the power of His resurrection. And then he encouraged everybody, press for the prize. Then he said, but until you get there, keep going.
Right.
Mind the rule.
All right.
Stay where you're at.
Yeah.
Don't go backwards. If you're going backwards, something wrong.
All right.
If you got to rest for a minute, go ahead. But don't go backwards. Amen. And so I want to ask you today, how are we allowing God to use us to show His glory? Now, glory isn't a complicated concept. It just means excellence. Excellence manifesting. We see a basketball player shoot a three-pointer. We see excellence. When we see an archer hit the bullseye time after time, we see excellence. When we see that brand new Cadillac Black Wing, hallelujah, shining in the roof, we see excellence. And when we let God be God over our lives and stop making it about us and stop complaining and making excuses and just let God take what we are and do what He wants to do with it. What the world is going to see is a shiny diamond reflecting back. What they're going to see is the most amazing things that they may have ever seen before. It may not seem much to you, but when God gets in it, amen, if you've got the gift of eloquence, amen, can you weave a biblical narrative? Are you a tent maker? Are you a bread maker? Are you a banker or a butcher or a carpenter or a farmer? Are you a homemaker? Amen. God wants to get in your gift because He gave it to you and He wants to use it for His glory. I wonder if you want to let God use you.
Yes.
He's given you talents. And He's loaned them to us. What gifts of the Spirit has God imparted to you? Do you have gifts of healing and miracles? Do you have the gift of faith? What about the gift of leadership? What about giving? Do you have the gift of helpfulness? Do you love and care for others? In Romans 12:1, Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's stand together today. We need to say, God, I'm not much. And you know, I listened to Brother Danny, and he was looking for a better job. I remember we had conversations about that, and I think it's probably all halfway. Everybody knows about it. And he was like, well, I don't really think that's going to happen. You know what God did? He gave a better job. He worked at the premier hospital in our region. Barnes Jewish Hospital. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
And while he was there, he prayed with people and touched lives. And he beat himself up for years. This goes back to Bible class today because he didn't have his master's degree. He didn't think that was possible, but he did it. Hallelujah. We can do, but But even after doing all those things and amazing things, he, as well as all of us, we think to ourselves, well, I haven't done anything. It's never going to satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is when I see how God worked through my hand. When God put a thought in my head. You're doing good preaching and stuff like that. I'm just saying, God, we'll be preaching this week. I can talk. I can talk till I'm blue in the face and put everybody to sleep. But it'd be nice if you give me something to say that matters.
Right. Amen.
There are 1,000 ways God has gifted us. And most of us already know what they are. I don't know my gift. It's just an excuse because you're afraid to do what God laid on you. And so we must let God use our gifts for His glory, or we'll always be spinning our wheels and we'll always be stuck in place. Only when we finally come to know the full story about Jesus can we begin to understand the full story that is me. Our lives and our gifts and our talents and our triumphs and tragedies, they find their truest meaning when they are linked into the story of the one who died for the sins of the whole world. Brother Stacy gave a teaching, a sermon some time ago, talking about your story. And I remember that, what he was talking about during that time. And he wasn't feeling well that day, and so he was just barely able to stand up and give what God laid on his heart. And I thought to myself, God, when he got done, I thought, oh, he just forgot one thing. And he needed to say that God wants to write a new chapter in your story. Somebody? God wants to write a new chapter in your story. When you see Jesus, that's when you make sense. Because the whole world was created by God. For Jesus. By Him, through Him, and for Him. And we're a part of the whole world. And when I see Jesus and I know His story, and I find myself walking side by side with Him, and I feel His Spirit stirring within me, even that's when my life makes sense. That's when my life has purpose. That's when all I have gone through begins to come together for glory. Amen. When God gets in the middle of my mess, that He already knew was going to be like that. He knows the beginning from the end, right?
Yes.
He's just waiting on us to use the one gift that we have that we haven't used. And that is the gift to choose. You can choose to let God work. Choose to tell Him no. I don't know about you today, but I want my story to move forward so that God will be exalted in me, so that people will see my good works and they will look up to heaven and say, God did that. I like what they said about Jesus after He healed the blind man, and they were like, well, they're going to talk Jesus, and who's he think he is? He said, well, I don't know who he is exactly. But who ever heard of anybody opening the eyes of one born blind? If he wasn't from God, he couldn't do anything. Let's bow our heads together today. And let's just pray this. God, you gave me these gifts and talents and calling. But I haven't always chosen to let you work to the extent that you would have. God, help me in 2023. Help me this year. Help me today to have a change, to have a paradigm shift, to have a belief system renovation so that amen, I can accommodate the reality that you breathe life into me and put me on this planet to use me and help me to be more cooperative. Help me to be more, amen, submissive. And use me this year as you have never used me before. Take me from potentiality to reality. Take me out of the dreams and the visions and bring me into the fulfillment. Let me know you not just as the God of the promises. Let me know you today and this year as the God who keeps his promises. Open my eyes to the reality of all that you are. And fill in the pieces of the puzzle. Pray that today. Pray that God would connect the dots for me. Hallelujah. Somebody pray that God would connect the dots for you. Hallelujah. 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 I know this may be belaboring the point and going back over old material, but sometimes it's fun to go back and retell those old great stories. Amen. How do you think it made me felt when I talked to Philip's cousin, Ronald Cooper? He was my dean in Bible college. Taught us Bible classes. Prayed for us. Made fun of us. Loved on us. How do you think it made me feel when Sister Lois brought a Cooper all the way from Florida to our church? And how do you think it made me feel when God filled him with the Holy Spirit? And he started giving devotions and started leading worship and dove deep into prayer and into the Bible. How do you think it made me feel when I was talking on the phone? I called him Brother Cooper, but Brother Ronnie Cooper was like, Philip? Are you sure you got the right guy? He's doing what? God put me here. And I can do something. I can. But look at all those connections. Isn't it wonderful how God connects the dots? How God connects the dots. And to be honest with you, I'm closer to Brother Philip than I ever was to Brother Cooper. I went from having an instructor to having a friend. I went from having an elder to having a brother that sits closer. You don't know, but God is putting the pieces together. God, we pray, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Pray today, God, before we leave, that you administer to all of our brothers and sisters. I know there are some home sick, weak and tired. Some are in pain. We have friends, oh God. We have loved ones that are on our prayer list that we're calling out to you to pour out your Spirit on them. And to lead them to repentance by your grace. We have those that are discouraged, distracted, and turned aside from the holy way. And their excuses have become laziness, and they're stuck. And they can't get back on track. We pray for each and every one today. God, that you would give them what they need. Minister to them where they are. And let us be available to you. They're going to sing a closing worship song before we leave. And I want us to take a moment. I know that you've already thought it through, and those messages have already hit its mark. But I want you to think to yourself. Because one of our last questions on our small group questionnaire is, how can you put what you've learned into action this week? Wouldn't it be great if you showed up to a small group on Wednesday morning and said, well, I've already put it into action. And this is what I did. and this is how God worked. Wouldn't that be great? So let them sing, and let us meditate on how God is talking to us today.